SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two officially underway. Some people might say it feels like hour number four is officially underway. Why? Because of all the exciting information we're going over, we are going to make sure we have you covered for the NBA and what happened this weekend and certainly moving forward. It's Davis. It's Donnie. It's a Monday right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Next up here on the docket, that's the Suns and the Timberwolves. And I said from the get-go, I liked it. My best bet on our pick six from Friday was the Minnesota Timberwolves at -2 in game number one against the Phoenix Suns. That final score, 120 Minnesota, Phoenix 95. They pounded the Phoenix Suns because for me, Davis, I just don't know if I can trust the Phoenix Suns. And after getting waxed by 25 points, I still don't know if I can trust the Phoenix Suns. 31 points out of Kevin Durant, 18 points out of Devin Booker. Bradley Beal goes for 15, but you had a team coming off the bench with the Timberwolves that was getting a lot of points to help out their starters when maybe you weren't getting so much here from the Phoenix Suns B players, which included Grayson Allen, 25 minutes. 0 of 3 from the field, which is 0 of 3 from three-point range. Only 4 free throws made. You just got 4 years, $70 million, Grayson. You got to step up to the plate. But what we saw yesterday was the Minnesota Timberwolves being the better basketball team here.
The Timberwolves are the much better team. I don't even know if – I don't really think anyone would argue that at this point. The thing that you would argue is that Kevin Durant is the best player in the series. But if you're, you know, if the guys contributing are Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal and Drew Eubanks and Eric Gordon, you know, what do you really have there? And it is getting late early for the Phoenix Suns. They do not have the draft assets to add here due to the new changes to the NBA collective bargaining agreement. Their tools to be able to improve the roster are very thin. You know, again, we talked about it a little bit last week, but you know, the new cap rules mean you're not adding guys' salaries in together when you're spending as much as the Phoenix Suns. You got a 35-year-old Kevin Durant. You've got a, you know, really the only guy who's in the prime of their career is Devin Booker. He was not particularly strong here. I thought the best moment of the first round was Anthony Edwards pounding his chest, looking in Kevin Durant's face, being like, bro, I am him. Pretty him-like performance from Anthony Edwards here, who after the game was like, you know, Kevin Durant, that's my favorite player. I grew up watching him, which is always so funny when you've got these, you know, 23-year-old guys in the NBA who literally in middle school was watching Kevin Durant on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, it's just so funny how those things, I think people kind of forget that Kevin Durant is as old as he is because it's actually LeBron's presence that makes Kevin Durant feel young, because Kevin Durant was like the next big thing when LeBron was already established, which is just, I mean, you know, it is just so funny. But the Timberwolves are a great team. And looking forward, you know, forecasting what's going to happen for the rest of the way, they are the one team that you would say has a chance, I think, of limiting Nikola Jokic. Maybe not the only team that has a chance of beating the Nuggets, because I do think the Thunder, I mean, they were very good against the Nuggets in the regular season. But the fact that they can play, they figured it out on offense, playing Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns together. So you've got 2 7-footers in there. And not that Towns is this great defensive player, because he's not, but he's just big. Just a guy who can, like, physically take up the space that Jokic likes to occupy. I think it is pretty interesting to imagine what that eventual series might be like.
Game goes over the total. Minnesota easily covers that line. So let's just take a look at the series prices where they sit today. Minnesota, a -176 price. If you want that dog price on Phoenix, it's a +142. Series spread, Minnesota, -1.5 games at a +116 price. If you flip it over there to the Suns, that's a -142 price, getting a game and a half. The favorite right now is for this series to go 6 at a +185 number. So as always, my question to you is, we see what happened in game number one. What needs to happen, Davis, in game number two for the Phoenix Suns to get back in this series and go back to Phoenix with a 1-1 series tie?
Man, I think it really just comes down to any game where the Suns have good performances from their role players, they probably are huge favorites to win those games. So, you know, if you flip it on its head and say Grayson Allen, instead of going 0 for 3 from three-point range, maybe he hits 2 3-pointers in the first quarter. Royce O'Neal comes off the bench and gets a, you know, a pick-six steal that Yusuf Nurkic ends up finishing with an alley-oop. Like, they're going to have a really strong chance to win those games because Beal is going to play well, although he didn't play that well in game one. Devin Booker is going to get you 16 high-quality looks per game. Kevin Durant is always – I mean, Kevin Durant is the most efficient scorer in the NBA, even at his age. And I don't think particularly for Durant they really have a defensive solve because – they've mostly used Jalen McDaniels as the primary defender on the best wing scorer for the other team. But McDaniels have given up 6 inches. That's the thing about Durant, is the guys who defend him are always so much shorter than he is that it just doesn't really matter. He can get his shot off against anyone. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you say, Rudy, go do your best, man. If Kevin Durant is posted at the nail, You go try and disturb him. You try and get in his way. Or Karl Anthony Towns, maybe you try and get in his way because we just can't have Durant getting these looks. But I haven't been a believer in the Suns experiment from the beginning. I didn't think Bradley Beal was what they needed. I feel like he's pretty duplicative of what Booker does best. I think they would have been better solved spending all of those resources. I mean, how would Pascal Siakam look on this team? You have the Nurkic, Durant, Siakam front court. I mean, he would have been cheaper to acquire in trade than Beal probably. Yeah, well, actually, no, probably not. He would have been more expensive. But I just, where's the teeth on this Suns team? Where's the defense coming from? Like, relying on Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal is not, you're just not going to win an NBA championship that way.
T-Wolves absolutely hammer the Suns here. A game that I guess was first on deck here, and maybe it's so far ago that nobody remembers it even played. It was the Cavaliers 97, the Orlando Magic 83. Easily a victory. Covered about 5.5-point spread in this game, and the total stays way under. Why? Because Orlando only scored 83 points, including the second and third quarters, with 15 points and 17 points consecutively. If we're taking a look at Cleveland, what went right for them? Donovan Mitchell, 36 minutes, 11 of 21 from the floor, which included 30 points and a plus 10. You also had 16-point efforts out of Allen and Mobley here as they easily dispatched the Orlando Magic. Are the Magic playoff ready here? Were they just happy to get here, Davis? What happened? They got crumbled on Saturday.
The Magic just are a bad offensive team, and if the other team is going to be ramped up to 100% on defense, which they will be in the playoffs, the Magic lose their advantage. The Magic were a great defensive team in the regular season, but they just don't have guards. Like, they just do not have guards who can play. Suggs, 4-for-16. Gary Harris, 0-for-6. Mm-hmm. I did not expect them to start Jonathan Isaac over Wagner or Wendell Carter Jr. They did. Isaac was, I mean, he's awesome defensively, but that's just adding a strength on top of a strength. The Magic, I don't want to say they're happy to be here, but this is the most NBA TV playoff series of the eight that we have going right now. Like, it's a Cavaliers team that not one person, including any member of the Cleveland Cavaliers, thinks can win an NBA championship against a team that just tried really hard, gave 100% effort every single night in the regular season. That was their secret. That is how the Magic were as good as they were in the regular season. But they can't score. They just cannot score. I mean, they got one three-pointer made off their bench. One three-pointer made. I mean, how can you? They took 37 three-pointers in this game. You're just not going to win NBA games like that. And is it fair? I don't know. Like, do people like that the NBA is so much about making three-pointers? It depends on who you ask. But the math is just tilted all the way against the Magic, unfortunately.
Yeah, by the way, the Magic and the Cavs, if you are taking a look at the NBA schedule here in the playoffs, they're basically the early game every night to sort of get them out of the way, and we'll see who advances at this point, but we're not expecting a very exciting series. And if we line up the series now currently, you take a look at the money line, Cleveland, a -375 price to advance over the Orlando Magic. If you still want the Magic, a dog price here at +285. Spread prices here, -2.5 here for Cleveland at a +118 price. If you want the 2.5 games with the Magic, you'll pay -144. Leader in the clubhouse right now is a gentleman sweep in 5 games at a +200 price. We'll see what changes between game number 1 and game number 2, but I got a feeling it's going to be much like game number 1 here, with the Cleveland Cavaliers going back to Orlando with a 2-0 series lead. Major League Baseball played this weekend. We'll get you updated next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball, yeah, played over the weekend. There was no playoff action there as we were focused on the NHL and also focused on the NBA. But if I tell you this record right now for the Los Angeles Dodgers, some people will be stunned. 13-11 as they improved because they won yesterday 10-0 over the New York Mets to avoid a sweep. The Mets were playing great baseball coming into this game, now dropped to 12-9. Before we get to the game itself, Davis, I think there were some people out here saying, you know what? If you just bet against the Dodgers every single game of the season, you will come up with a decent sum of money at the end of the season. If that were to be true right now, 13-11, yes, the Dodgers are over 500, but my goodness, just fading the Dodgers, very profitable right now.
I mean, I think I would pick my spots with that. I definitely would not just blind bet against them. I think the move is particularly early in the season. Just take advantage when they are just against a total doorstop team, you know, total cellar dweller, like the Detroit Tigers, you know, plus 315 on the money line or whatever. That's actually always one of my favorite things to do. I remember some circumstances in the past where we've had some of these really awful teams. You know, White Sox are going to be one of those teams this year where, like, there is going to be a game this season where the Chicago White Sox are, like, plus 380 on the money line to win one baseball game because they really are that bad. I would not make a habit, though, of betting against the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't care if it's net profitable in the end. Because they're just unbelievable. Like, every part of this team, they've got three MVP candidates on offense. They've got one of the best pitchers in the National League in Glasnow. They've got Yamamoto. Like, they're just ridiculous. I think they're better than the Braves. I think they are better than any of the American League teams. They are the best team in baseball.
Take a look at some of the guys that did some damage in that game. Shohei Ohtani did hit a home run, gets two RBI in that one, but also at the end of the order here, batting in the eight hole, Pages, the young kid they brought up last week, the outfielder, he actually went 2-0-4 and had three RBI in this game, which also included his first home run of the season and for his Major League Baseball career. But the 10-0 win over the Dodgers, they needed that one here. If you are take a look at the season itself, again, that record 13-11 overall, run differential only plus 15. You would figure that they would have been a wrecking crew right off the bat. And if you're looking at the World Series prices, a plus 320. So roughly 25 games into the season, Davis, how are we feeling about the Dodgers and their prospects moving forward? Disappointed? It's a long season. They'll be the best team at the end. How are we thinking about that?
Yeah, it's a long season. They will be the best team in the end. I mean, look, they only have, just due to the way the schedule has worked out, they only have one fewer win than the Atlanta Braves, but they have five more losses. I guess it's just one of the picadillos of the schedule. But like some of the other teams that are winning right now, the Brewers, I mean, what would the Dodgers be a favored in a series price against the Brewers? They'd be like minus 180, minus 190 in a series against the Brewers. They'd be huge favorites against the they'd be huge favorites against any of the NL Central teams. They'd be favored against the Padres and the Diamondbacks. Really, the only team in baseball they would not be favored for sure in a series against would be the Atlanta Braves. They'd also be favored over all the division leaders in the American League as well, the Yankees, the Guardians, and the Texas Rangers as well. My concern about the Los Angeles Dodgers is at a 0.0. Like, they just – and any – flaw they have, any hole they have in the roster, they will be the most aggressive team at the deadline. They will be willing to give up cash. They'll be willing to give up prospects. Like, they just, this ownership group does not mess around, and the front office has like carte blanche to basically do whatever they want in terms of adding payroll, in terms of giving up future assets, because the whole organization just wants to win right now.
How about the New York Yankees improving to 15-7 on the season after a 5-4 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays? Heel on the mound. 5 2/3 innings, only two hits, no earned runs, 9 Ks, and 3 walks here. Now, if we're looking at that Yankees lineup overall and you say, okay, Yankees are 15-7, that means they're getting great offensive efforts out of everybody. That's not the case. Volpe and Soto yesterday went a combined 0-9, but still, Volpe hitting .288 on the year, Soto at .337. Take a look at the meat of that order. That's where you figure a lot of the damage will be coming from Aaron Judge, 183, Giancarlo Stanton, 227, Anthony Rizzo, 235, Gleyber Torres, 200 here, but yet the Yankees are still surviving, and a nice win there over the Rays yesterday.
A nice win over the Rays yesterday. I mean, this Yankees season right now, I am wearing it because I go on Pharrell Coast to Coast every day, and me and Pharrell are like, yeah, the Yankees are terrible. They don't have Gerrit Cole. Judge is already hurt. We hate the manager. We think the front office, you know, they're no good. Mm-hmm. And Stanton is off to his best start in like 4 years. Juan Soto is lapping the league in OPS plus. Judge hasn't even really started hitting yet. You know, Judge only has 3 home runs. He's actually below league average in OPS plus. It doesn't matter. They're getting good results out of Verdugo. Ultimately, some of these guys are going to huge regress to the mean. You know, Cabrera, they're getting good stuff out of like Trent Grisham. Like, I don't think it is going to last for the entire season. And we also have not gotten Judge or Stanton's, you know, yearly 30-day vacation to the IL yet that you know is coming. But Soto is a huge acquisition. I think maybe that was a little bit understated by opponents of the New York Yankees, such as myself, which is Soto is got the ability to come in and immediately be the best hitter in the American League, which is definitely a little bit overlooked. Because as also, look at the guys who he was replacing in their lineup last year. Like, Billy McKinney and Isaiah Kanafalefa were playing the plate appearances that he was getting last season. You're talking about, like, 5 times as good of a baseball player getting those spots. Now, the pitching, they're definitely getting lucky with the pitching. I will huge go out on a limb here. Like, they are not going to get above average of a season from Cortez and Stroman and Schmidt and Louis Gill. You know, Rodon actually has been their worst starting pitcher thus far, which I would expect to change. But they're not going to get this good of results from the pitching. So that'll be the biggest thing that's going to change.
How about this? Did you expect Cole Irvin to be absolutely filthy yesterday in a 5-0 win for the Baltimore Orioles over the Kansas City Royals? Irvin went 6 2/3 innings, 4 hits, no earned runs, 2 Ks, and only 2 walks here in a victory, which improves the Baltimore Orioles to 14-7, just behind those New York Yankees and the Royals now at 13-9. Look at Royals. I mean, are we having faith? Still 500 here in April? What are we feeling, Davis?
I mean, I'm definitely feeling nervous given Cole Reagan's most recent results, but I just am so happy that I still have a reason to watch baseball on April 22nd. So I am not throwing the white flag for my Kansas City Royals yet.
How about that? He still believes in the Royals. Well, now look, 13-9, better than what we thought at this point. Let's keep it rolling here on a Monday morning edition of the Early Line. It's Davis and Donnie. We'll be right back after this short break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rolling along in hour number 2 of the Early Line right on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. It's Davis and Donnie. By the way, did you know this weekend, or should I say this week, Thursday night, round number 1 of the NFL draft? We'll have you covered in hour number 2, but we still have NBA topics hot on our mind, which included yesterday's performance, 109-94, with the Milwaukee Bucks easily handled the Indiana Pacers. A lot of question marks coming into the series. The Pacers' dominance and their pace of play, should it be able to overtake the Bucks, who were without Giannis in game number 1? We actually don't know when he's going to return in round number 2, but when you pick up a victory, you get some time to sit back and relax. And Damian Lillard yesterday, Davis, 35 points by himself in the first half to stake that big lead.
He was he was unbelievable in this game. That's why they traded for him, right? If you go back, like, they had this great championship core, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis, Brooke. They were this awesome unit, and they just kind of looked at the situation and said, you know what? It's not good enough. We were not good enough on offense to beat the Boston Celtics. There's a little bit of concern about, like, if you build your entire offense around Giannis, who's not a great 3-point shooter. You need a little bit of space. Really, you just needed a second guy who was capable of scoring 35 points and a half, because Drew Holiday, great player, fits in great with the Boston Celtics, where he doesn't need to score 27 points a game in order to win an NBA championship. The partnership didn't work out that well in the regular season, right? There were some real problems there, but this is why they traded for him. They traded for him so that when the team is kind of stuck in the mud, there can just be someone other than Giannis to go get buckets. Now, they didn't plan on not having Giannis available, but I'm sure they are very glad that they had him for the start of this series.
Quite frankly, thought Dame was at least on to a 50-piece on Sunday, but they didn't need that much because they had an easy blowout victory where they were knocking down 3-point shots all over. But let's take a look at what Dame had to say in the post-game press conference about, man, feels good to be back in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was the last 2 years not being in the playoffs, it was, it sucked. I was early vacations. Last year, I went to Coachella, like, ain't never been able to go to Coachella. Like, it's just playing in the playoffs every year. So just having that long summer, it was like, man, I was over that. But being able to be in a playoff series on a championship team and a championship organization, knowing that we got an opportunity for it, I think that was the thing that I was looking forward to most.
Dame finished with 35 points, which is incredible. That's an unbelievable performance in the playoffs here. He knocked down 6 3-point shots, which, again, unbelievable in a playoff performance. But he did all of that in the first half. Now, granted, Milwaukee was up by enough where they really didn't need that, even though you saw the Pacers win the third quarter by 15 points. Game was certainly already out of reach. What an anomaly that is. And I can always think of when I see that, it's like, if you cashed in his points prop over, that was awesome. If he hit his 3 points prop, that was fantastic. But if you're one of those people that's like, you know what, every once in a while, I want to climb the ladder here. Let's just go, I picked for 40 points or 45 points or 50 points out of Dame, not knowing what I was going to get. You have 35 at the break. Like, you figure you're on easy street. How did he not score a single point, Davis, in the second half? I'm still baffled by that.
I mean, I guess he just rolled the ball out for there in the second half and was like, this one's already done and dusted. It is very bizarre, though. Like, to have heard that stat, you would have assumed that the Bucks were up, like, 37 points at half, and that, you know, Pascal Siakam had like left injured or something, and that Dame didn't even need to play in the fourth quarter. It is definitely pretty frustrating. And those ladder props are awesome. I mean, that's one of the ways that I love to do sports betting, because I am just as I'm just as much into the smaller amount of money for a large amount of payout as anyone else, as opposed to just trying to beat, you know, -110 both sides. I guess maybe it's good for them as a team. Like, more guys got other shots, showed they could win basketball games in the second half when Dame is not going off, but it is very weird. It is very weird that he scored literally 0 points in the second half.
So we take a look at the playoff series odds here in that first round. It's a -230 price. But if we're looking towards conference championships for the Bucks, it's a 7-1 price. And then the championship odds for cutting down the Nets in the NBA Finals, that is a 16-1 price. So thought processes after the Milwaukee Bucks play game number one, things are starting to look a little bit on the up and up, because this would be a very different Monday morning if Dame scores 18 points and they get beat here, and Tyrese Halliburton had a monster game. Maybe that outlook would be like, yeah, we told you so here on the Milwaukee Bucks. But now, sort of after watching game number one, maybe they will be all right. Maybe an extra couple days rest here for Giannis Antetokounmpo before he returns. And maybe this team, this is just what they needed for Giannis to be removed from the equation, so other guys have to step up, which includes Damian Lillard. And he did that in game number one. We'll find out much more in game number two. But the NFL draft starts this Thursday night. Have some fun and talk about it next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's draft week, party people. Are you ready? Because the Sports Grid Network certainly is. It's Davis and Donnie here on the morning on a Monday to sort of set that table for what we can anticipate. I love the fact that the NFL says, you know what, we're not just going to have a turbo draft on a Saturday and a Sunday. We're going to spread this thing out. We're going to have drama. We're going to have better content. We're going to be able to reevaluate after the first round, after the next two rounds here, before you head into the weekend. I really enjoy this. Now, if we're looking towards Thursday night, the number one overall pick, as we know, is the Chicago Bears, followed by the Commanders, Patriots, Cardinals, Chargers, Giants, Titans, Falcons, Bears, and Jets, 1-10. So let me ask you this question, Davis. We'll get to some team-by-team analysis here. How ready are we for the draft, and do we expect surprises early in round number one?
I mean, I am locked in. I've been firing draft bets for over a month right now. My biggest position is if Drake May gets picked at second by the Washington Commanders, it'll be very good for me, because that is, look, it's just the thing that makes the most sense. Drake May is the second best quarterback in this draft. The odds moved initially because the Washington Commanders signed Marcus Mariota to be their backup quarterback. So the market then said, oh, well, you would never sign Marcus Mariota to be Drake May's backup. Only makes sense for Marcus Mariota to be Jaden Daniels' backup. What really the inflection point, I mean, mock drafts could all end up being wrong if the Cardinals do something squirrely at pick 4. So the way the chalk is right now is that Caleb goes 1, Jaden Daniels or Drake May, then go at pick two or three, depending on which mock draft you're reading. The Cardinals take Marvin Harrison Jr. The Chargers trade out of pick five to the Minnesota Vikings, and the Minnesota Vikings take J.J. McCarthy. Now, that's a lot of stacking, right? That's a lot of things that have to go exactly right. You know, the Neighbors goes at six to the Giants. But what if the Chargers don't want to do that trade? What if the Chargers say, you know what? We just want to take Joe Alt. We need a tackle. We want to protect Herbert. We want to run the ball. We want Joe Alt. And then what if the Arizona Cardinals say, we ain't trading either. Malik Neighbors, not a good consolation prize. Roma Dunze, not a good consolation prize. We want Marvin Harrison Jr. We're staying at four. We're picking him. Then basically every mock draft is wrong, because I have not seen any mock draft where pick four, five, or six has not been a trade to lead J.J. McCarthy to being selected. And I want to throw this wrinkle out to you. I actually just tweeted this when we were at break. If you shop around a little bit, you can get plus odds 3-1 or deeper for McCarthy to go at pick four, pick five, and pick six. I think you can get up to 6-1, actually, for McCarthy to be pick six. So theoretically, Donnie, if all these mock drafts are right, then you can lock in a profit betting each of those. By, you know, you bet $25 on each of those for McCarthy. You can lock in a profit. Do you think the mock drafts are right and that McCarthy will be a top six pick?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch it play out, because as we know, smoke screens, smoke signals go up for the past couple months here. This guy's a high riser. This guy's falling late. We'll find out which one of these NFL teams is going to get their guy. Now, granted, after the draft, everybody always says, man, can't believe that guy fell to us. Can't believe that guy was here. We had the trade up. This was our guy. Let me ask you this question. Number one on the board is the Bears. Obviously, they're going quarterback. Number two on the Commanders, it feels like there's going quarterback. But pick number three, I do think, is intriguing with the Patriots. Tell me this. Is there any way the top three picks in the draft are not all quarterbacks, and maybe a wide receiver could slip in for the Patriots here?
No chance. I would, like, if you let me bet that at like minus 500, each of the top three picks, like just being a quarterback, I would bet it. I mean, it just feels all of those teams have a huge need at quarterback. The teams behind them with ammunition to trade up, the Giants need a quarterback. The Vikings need a quarterback. You know, there are multiple teams picking behind them that could trade. I mean, the Titans need, like, theoretically, they could do it. I definitely don't think they will. That's, like, total fan fiction. But I think we actually see the first four picks all being quarterbacks. I believe, ultimately, the Arizona Cardinals will end up engaging in a trade with one of these teams and trading back, and J.J. McCarthy ends up being the fourth overall pick. Or maybe it's Drake May, right? Maybe McCarthy goes third to the Patriots and May ends up going fourth to whomever trades up for him. But this is going to be a super quarterback heavy first round. I don't think Nixon Penix will be first round picks, and I bet against it, but there are rumblings out there that the Raiders might take one of them, that the Broncos might take one of them there. Super heavy quarterback draft.
Let's take a look at that number four spot here, because that's the Cardinals. And if you say to yourself, well, who's in the best position in the draft? Well, obviously, the Bears, number one overall. They think they're getting their franchise quarterback that can play for them for the next 10 to 15 years. But we know the Commanders are sitting there. They need a quarterback. They'll draft one. The Patriots need a quarterback. They're probably going to draft one. But the Cardinals sit in that four spot, which we probably think still valuable quarterbacks will be on the board. So my question to you is, with that fourth overall pick, yes, it says Marvin Harrison Jr. would be a minus 240 price here at this. J.J. McCarthy at a plus 420 price. Drake May at a 9-1 price if he lasts till number four. So is it a foregone conclusion that if you are the Cardinals, you can't make a draft pick here? You trade back, you slide back a couple spots, you pick up an extra two, three, or heck, maybe even a number one, and then you get your guy. Or could the Cardinals actually stay at number four and be like, yeah, we're picking our quarterback? There's so many options for the Cardinals, but for me, I can't see them making a pick at number four overall.
No, and what you're saying is so interesting, and like one of the wrinkles that makes betting on the NFL draft profitable, which is that the thing that makes the most sense for the organization is not being priced in, which is there are so many teams that want to get up to select J.J. McCarthy, and they know the Chargers are not going to take him. So why wouldn't they do it? And the Chargers also would be unlikely to take Marvin Harrison Jr. because organizationally, everything they're saying and putting out there is like, we have no interest in taking a wide receiver. We want a lineman. Like, that is the whole Harbaugh thing, is building from the trenches. And they, one thing that we have seen is that these front offices, the closer we get to the draft, they really discount next year's first round picks. Like, it feels like if there's a front office that's got a little bit of heat on their seat, they will just give up a future first-round pick because what does it matter? They might not be there to take it anyway. And if the trade works out, we saw with the Texans, if the trade works out, you know, trading the additional first-round pick for Will Anderson, you win a playoff game. No one cares. Not one Texans fan cares that they don't have a first-round pick this year. Now, there are definitely some Carolina Panthers fans that are pretty upset that they do not have the number one overall selection this season that they used to trade up for Bryce Young. I think you do the trade if you're the Cardinals, if it's good value. If no one will give you, you know, Jimmy Johnson trade chart value for it, then I think you just sit. But for our purposes, I think it makes the McCarthy number and the Drake May number there at exactly pick four pretty interesting, because we just highlighted why the Cardinals would take the trade, and the trade up would definitely not be for Marvin Harrison. It would be for a quarterback.
I want to ask you this question on two teams here in the top 10, which I do think are intriguing. In your mind, Davis, number six, the New York Giants, where do they go? And also the Bears, two picks in the top 10 here. Their own pick is actually number nine. Where do the Bears go at nine?
So if Rome Odunze is on the board for the Chicago Bears at pick nine, I really hope they take him, because we would get to see like something pretty historic, which is Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick, and Caleb Williams is already awesome. And if you have him in a three wide receiver set with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, and then you've got Cole Kmet, I mean, that is basically the best situation a rookie quarterback has ever come into. I guess other than Patrick Mahomes with Tyreek and Travis Kelce when he started in 2018. And I would just be honestly like, it would just be so cool to see a guy come in who I think is as talented as Caleb Williams is. And then for the Giants, I think it's very simple. The Giants take JJ McCarthy if he's there at pick six, and they basically get a chance to restart the clock. Or if he's gone, you take Malik Nabers and you say, we're already paying Daniel Jones all this money. Let's try and salvage it. Let's try and just get something out of Daniel Jones before we go on a different direction. And also the Falcons at eight, they're another team that could screw things up for the Bears, because if Odunze is there at eight for the Falcons, I think they might take him as well.
I do love the fact that the NFL has the slotted prices on the top rookies, because I remember, and it wasn't too long ago, throughout the 90s and early 2000s, you would have teams already agreeing to deals a couple days ahead and blowing the first three picks here on you knew exactly where they would go. But the fact of the matter is, we know where the Bears are going with pick number one, but the fun really starts right away at pick number two, right through to pick number nine for me. The NBA coming up next. Coach James Young joins us. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Armchair quarterback on a Monday. No better place to be here. Why? Because the NBA was hot with a quadruple header on Saturday and also on Sunday. Donnie Wrightside, Davis Maddock, and now we bring in the coach, James Young, to see what actually went down and how we can use some of this knowledge to move forward. Coach, how are we doing on this Monday morning?
Monday morning, you're a lot of playoff basketball kicked off over the weekend. All the home teams held serve. Let's see if we can get a couple of upsets here starting tonight.
Coach doesn't seem to be too happy because his Philadelphia 76ers lost against the New York Knicks. Tough scene. We'll get to that in just a few minutes here, Coach. Come on, man. Sixers, man. Come on. We're Sixers people in this building. We're ready to rock and roll. But I'll tell you right now, interesting doings here with the Clippers, 109-97 over the Mavericks. I wanted the Mavericks in the series. Now, granted, it's only game number one. Very disappointed in the outcome, particularly with no Kawhi Leonard. What did the Clippers do that was so great here to easily dismantle the Mavs?
Well, first things first, on the other side, Dallas was awful. I mean, Dallas looked like they weren't ready to play. It could be one of those situations where maybe they thought with no Kawhi they were going to roll. They just weren't. They just got jumped early, in my opinion, obviously, and then the second quarter being outscored 22-8. But when you look on the flip side, it was really the three-headed monster of Paul George, James Harden, and Ivaka Zubac? Like, Zubac gave you 20 and 15? Yeah. Let me know if you had 35 plus points plus rebounds for Ivaka Zubac last night. So obviously, you know, Zubac played well. And the concern that you're going to have, Donnie, and we know this, right? Dallas is top heavy, right, with their scoring between Luka and Kyrie. They have to get a third guy that can get them 12 to 15 points. Usually that person is Tim Hardaway Jr. He was really ineffective in only 16 minutes, only took five shots. So to me, they need a little bit more out of Hardaway Jr. Jones going with a goose egg is a problem. Gafford, who had played really well, 3 points, you know, no rebounds in 14 minutes. They got to play better. But I am still not overly concerned with Dallas, because all you need to do, Donnie, in the first two games is get a split. I think we get a much better Dallas team, the more like the one we saw in the second half yesterday afternoon. So I think they can get game number two.
Yeah, we'll see if they can get game number two. I don't know if doing the same thing they've always done in the playoffs, which is the break glass in case of emergency button on Maxi Kleba, 27 minutes for him off the bench, more minutes than Lively, more minutes than Gafford. I don't necessarily know if that is the right way for them moving forward. JY, we'll continue to be updating on that throughout the rest of the week. Another team that greatly disappointed in game one. You know, you could practically see the Indiana Pacers quaking in their boots with their first real experience as a team in playoff basketball. Exact opposite for the Bucks. Dame, he's been there. Middleton, he's been there. Portis, he's been there. Brooke Lopez, he's been there. They came in, they handled their business, 109-94. Now Giannis may not be able to play basketball for the remainder of the series, might not be able to get back for game five. So there is a real opportunity for the Pacers to get their act together and end up winning the series. What did you see in game one that made you lean one way or the other for a series price here?
Well, I just thought this is the same thing as the game we just talked about. Like the first half, Indiana just did not look like they were competing. They looked like the moment was too big for them, and they got absolutely jumped. I mean, thank goodness for Pascal Siakam's 36 points. They wouldn't have lost by 15. They would have lost by 30 if it wasn't for Pascal Siakam, a guy that has playoff experience. So to me, I just thought that the moment was a little bit too big for them. But, Davis, I got to admit, I'm getting a little concerned with Tyrese Halliburton. He has not been the same guy since the injury. For a Tyrese Halliburton that talked all that trash, wanted all that smoke, right, with Milwaukee early in the year, right, in-season tournament, for this guy to put up seven shots, to me is something that has me a little bit concerned. Maybe the moment was too big for an Indiana Pacers team. You know, Miles Turner was, you know, didn't shoot the ball well, but of course he shot too many threes, in my opinion. I think Miles needs to get the ball inside. Now, I think the reason why you want to go outside is because of Brooke Lopez, but I think Indiana's going to play better. I still think Indiana can find a way to win this series, but they got to be markedly better. They got to get out the fast starts, and they got to get out in transition, Davis. If these games go under, it plays right into Milwaukee's hands. If this games go over, that is playing Indiana's base. They got to play much quicker in game two.
Dame got out hot there in the first half, 35 points, which included 6 3-point shots made. But you're right about that, coach. Tyrese Halliburton really has to step up. And also, pressure off a little bit on Milwaukee. You can rest Giannis without rushing him back. One of those where Jimmy Butler, probably not going to have to be rushed back at all. The Celtics pound the Heat, 114-94 in game number one, which saw the Heat giving a 3-point shot after 3-point shot after 3-point shot. Is this series already over, coach? Is it just a matter of will we see a game number five?
I think you will see a game number five, because I just think Miami's too much of a prideful bunch. It was interesting because when the lead was 30 some odd points at the end of three, I thought Spo was going to sit all of his guys and just literally take a 50 point, you know what, kicking and use that for motivation. But he went the other way. He played his starters because he wanted to have them coming off the floor feeling better about themselves. Hero played better in the fourth quarter. I know he still shot 4 of 13. Hawkins was good. Bam was good. You know, Jovic, you have to give him a little bit of experience. To me, though, you got to stop the 3-point shot. It didn't matter who it was. It wasn't even Tatum. It was Porzingis. It was Holiday. It was White. It was Brown. It was Hauser. I mean, think about this. They went 22 for 49 from three, right? Seven of those misses were Tatum's. So if you take Tatum out of that, they shot 21 out of 41 from three. That is a problem. It will be addressed by Miami. They will defend the three much better in game number two.
Coach, quickly on this topic here. Mavericks and Pacers, both down 0-1 on the road here. More confidence in who could win the series right now, Mavs or Pacers?
Mavs, because I just think at the end of the day, Luka and Kyrie will score. They'll get a third score, probably Hardaway Jr., but Gafford and Washington got to play better defensively.
Nobody wants to go down 0-2 in a series. An NBA triple header tonight on a Monday. You know who's going to break it down with us? It's right here. It's Coach Game Jump. The best in the business, people. Come on back with us. Let's see who he has in this triple header.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA playoff triple header. Let's hit it right now. It's look, I'm looking forward to tonight. I'm a Philadelphia 76ers fan. The coach here is a New York Knicks fan. It's Donnie Davis and the coach, and we got three games to preview. But let's start here with the nightcap tonight. The Los Angeles Lakers drop game one to the Nuggets, and quite frankly, seemingly can't beat the Nuggets in at least a full calendar year. The numbers tonight, -7 is a favorite towards the Nuggets, similar to game number one. 223.5 is a total. Coach, tonight, is it just so much more Denver? They move on with 2-0, or can the Lakers say, forget that elevation, we're going back to crypto.com with a 1-1 series tie?
Going back to London, I think what you have here is let's be honest, my big concern with the Lakers, I know this sounds crazy, is Anthony Davis gives you a great playoff game, and then he gives you a stinker. Well, he just gave you a 32-point playoff game in game number one. So what am I saying? Oh, Lord, here comes the stinker. But the key with this is that, with this series is this. LA is going to try to get off to quick starts and play with the lead. The problem is with their age, and let's be honest, with their lack of offensive firepower, particularly with D'Angelo Russell, who turned into a pumpkin as soon as the playoffs start, is you got to play this game live. I talked about this over the weekend with betting above the rim with Joe Ranieri. I took the Nuggets in the second half pregame -3.5. Now, you could do a couple of things. You could do it early, or you can wait and let the Lakers play well, have the game be tied, or have the Lakers with the lead, spread second half, or even money line the game overall. I think there is a script here. It is Denver will adjust at the break. They will get more production out of their players, and LA will find a way to cough it up because LeBron and AD have to literally carry all these guys 48 minutes. Two things to look out for really quick, though, with the Lakers. Number one, do they get out of Hachimura and maybe go to like a Torian Prince? I do like Torian Prince's points prop tonight. And then look out for Gabe Vincent. Obviously, D'Angelo Russell played extremely poorly in game number one. Gabe Vincent, 8 minutes. I think they may go to Gabe Vincent a little bit earlier in game number two to see if they can get some perimeter shooting going, which then creates driving lanes for AD and LeBron.
We'll see. I mean, I think there are some lineup changes that the Lakers could make. I think that, starting or actually just how about just playing Jared Vanderbilt, I think is one of the things they could do. Maybe playing Max Christie, having LeBron be more of the primary ball handler with a little bit less of D'Angelo Russell. But I think the most interesting series we have going on right now in the first round is we get great content here. It's your guys' two teams. It's the Philadelphia 76ers against the New York Knickerbockers. We had Joel Embiid, with a little bit of blood on his bandaged knee there, was able to gut it out. And then a really solid fourth quarter performance from the Knicks ends up getting that home victory. But, Coach, I mean, are you quaking about that big man from the city of brotherly love? Are you afraid of him turning this series on its head, or do you think that Tibbs and his 48 minutes per night of Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart are going to end up being able to take this series down?
Well, listen, anytime you have one of the best players, if not the best player in the world, in Joel Embiid, you got to be quaking your boots, Davis. I mean, but to me, I need to see where Embiid plays, meaning, is he going to go to the perimeter like he did in the fourth quarter and more of the second half when he's being guarded by someone like Mitchell Robinson? Or does he go inside into the low block? That's what I want to see, because Embiid got going early in the low block. Fourth quarter, he kind of fizzled out, went to the perimeter. Now, listen, I think Brunson's going to play markedly better. But you look at the other side, you can get better contributions from other players from the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's start with a guy that seems to disappear every postseason, and that's Tobias Harris. He must be much better in this game. Maybe get a little bit more production also from a guy like Nicholas Batum, who has playoff experience.
Coach, quickly hit on the Mavericks, the Magic and the Cavaliers tonight. Still the edge? You would look at a 2-0 series leader. Can the Magic send it 1-1 back to Orlando?
I think the Magic can send it back 1-1 to Orlando. Listen, you know, you're not going to have Evan Mobley hit 2 threes in the first 4 minutes. You're not going to have Donovan Mitchell hit threes that shoot from outside, that come from the sky, that drop in. You'll get a better performance. As long as Jalen Suggs realizes that taking 16 shots is about 6 or 7 too many. Pass the ball, Jalen. Less shots.
What a great time to be alive. A triple header tonight in the NBA. The coach is going to sit back there at that Knicks and Sixers game and be loving life as he takes a fadeaway into the break. Thank you, Coach James Young, for breaking these games down with us. Hour number 3 coming up next. Fade the public poll. You guessed it. We'll be right back.